Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms tonight. The book of Psalms, Psalm number 90. And we're going to look at one short verse, Psalm 90. And if you found your place in the Word of God, if you will, stand with me in honor of God's Word this evening, Psalm 90. And we're going to read just one short verse tonight, and this will be the text verse for my message. The Bible says in Psalm 90 in verse 9, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." That's just a short verse, but let's read it together, shall we? "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." In other words, what the Bible is saying is our life's kind of like a story. Kind of like a tale that is told, the Bible says. Every decision that we make, every defining moment in our life, everything that we go through, every blessing, every trial, every tragedy, all those things only add another chapter to our life's history. And whether or not our life story has a happy ending or not is based upon the choices and the decisions that we make. And listen, whenever I get to the end of my life, I want to be able to say, man, I'm glad I did the right thing. I'm glad I made the right decisions. The day I married my wife, and I saw her come walk up the aisle and she had a white dress on. Whenever I was standing up there on the platform, I thought to myself, I'm glad that we made the right decisions. I'm glad that we didn't take things too far. I'm glad that we didn't mess a good thing up. The day that my little girl was born and I held her for the first time in my life, I couldn't help but think to myself, I'm so glad that I followed the Lord. I'm so glad that God has put things together in my life like He has. Man, when I start to think about so many of my friends, some of them who are completely out of the will of God, some of them who are not even alive tonight because of stupid choices and stupid decisions that were made. Listen, friend, you and I, we are writing our own biographies. We're writing our own story tonight. One of these days, whenever it's time for us to face the Lord, whether that story has a happy ending or not, it's going to be based upon what we decide to do today for Christ. We're coming to an end of this revival meeting. I hope by the end of the service tonight that the right decisions will have been made in people's lives. I hope that the right choices, I hope that some things have been dealt with God, because the future will tell the tale, won't it? Tonight I want to preach on this thought, alternate endings. Alternate endings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You'd help me tonight as I preach. Lord, I pray that You'd use this message, Lord, to speak to hearts. And Lord, maybe tonight some decisions need to be made, Lord, about the will of God for someone's life. Lord, about a decision to turn from sin and repent and get close to God. Lord, maybe a decision, Lord, to get in church, a decision to be saved. Decision, Lord, to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Lord, I pray tonight that You would speak to our heart, that the Holy Spirit would begin to work. And Lord, that we'd listen. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, as we bring this revival to a close, dear God, that something unusual would happen in our midst. Father, Lord, I believe that this week we have had some good meetings. And Lord, last night I feel like we had a wonderful time together in Your house. Lord, I felt several times this week that we've brought this revival right up to the verge of, Lord, something great happening in this auditorium. Father, Lord, we've come up to the crest, and tonight, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would experience a genuine revival of the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be ready. Lord, I pray that we'd be willing, Lord, to follow Jesus Christ and follow the Holy Spirit tonight, I pray. Do something special for us. If there's someone here tonight that's not saved, Lord, I pray that You'd tender their heart and Lord, that they would not leave this place the way they came in, Lord, but they'd leave this place saved and on their way to heaven. Bless, I pray, the service tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We all have moments in our life that we can look back on. I know I certainly do. Moments that I can look back on and realize that those were events that happened that changed the direction of my life. Sometimes it's a tragedy. Sometimes it's something that we regret. But for whatever the reason, whatever the cause, those decisions, those events that happen, they change the direction of our future. And boy, I look back on some days in my life, and boy, whenever I begin to think about times when God protected me, and think about choices I made, and where I could be tonight, boy, it almost just seems like God stepped in. And fate stepped in and protected me from so many things. But have you ever stopped and thought about some of those major decisions that you made in your life, some of those major events that happened in your life? You ever just stopped and wondered, what if I'd have done things differently that day? I don't know, you may not think about that, but I think about that kind of stuff. Boy, I mean, you ladies, you think about it tonight, can you imagine if you had married the first guy you ever dated? You ever thought about that? Boy, I shudder to think what it'd have been like if my wife would have married some of the guys she dated. Amen. And we won't talk about my girlfriends now. Hey, but listen, you certainly wouldn't have the family that you have now. You certainly wouldn't have the kids that you have now. You think about things like, what if I wouldn't have come to church the day I got saved? What if that soul winner would have never came by my door and showed me from the Bible how that I could become a Christian? What if I would have sat in my pew and never came forward and never trusted Christ? I wonder tonight if you'd even be here. I wonder if you'd even be in church. I wonder what your life would be like. Some of you remember what it was like before you got saved. You remember how you your life was in sin, and you remember all the problems that you were in, and boy, it just seemed like there was an emptiness in your life. And then all of a sudden, God saved you, and now you're doing things you never expected you'd ever would have done in your life. If somebody would have come up and told you 5-10 years ago that you'd be sitting in church and revival meeting tonight, that you would have been to church every night of the revival meeting, you'd have said, "Man, you're crazy." Something happened in your life that changed all that. If somebody had told you 15, 20 years ago that you'd be tithing, you'd say, "Man, you're nuts." Somebody had told you 10, 15 years ago that you'd be going out soul winning and telling people how they can go to heaven and being a witness for Christ, you'd have said, "Man, you're crazy. I could never do that." Hey, listen, friend, what would have happened? Wonder where what life would be like tonight if you'd never gotten saved. I believe that we all have these pivotal and defining moments in our life that have no doubt brought us to the place where we are tonight. And some of us, we have things in our past. No doubt everyone tonight has things in their past they wish they could change. Regrets, things they feel sorry for. Had we only known the consequences, had we only known how those decisions were going to turn out, we probably would have done things differently. But hey, let me tell you something tonight, friend. We do not have the luxury of knowing the consequences ahead of time, do we? The only hope that we have for our life is by the choices and the decisions that we make right now for God. Boy, I tell you, if you really wanted to tonight, Christian, I'm sure you could go out somewhere and find a bottle of beer and drink that beer. I wouldn't be able to stop you from doing that. If you wanted to, you could probably go somewhere here in Bucyrus or in Marion or some of these surrounding towns, and you could probably find some drugs and take it. If that's what you really wanted to do, I wouldn't be able to stop you. But you hear me, and you hear me very well tonight, Christian. You can make any decision you want to make, but you cannot choose the consequences for your decisions. I tell teenagers this all the time. You go downtown Chicago, you go downtown New York, you find some gutter somewhere where some guy's laying there, and he's lost his marriage and he's lost his job, he's lost his family, he's lost his wife, he's lost everything he ever worked for, everything he ever dreamed about, to the addiction of alcohol and drugs and all that kind of stuff. You go up to that bum and you say, "Excuse me, sir. First time you ever stuck a bottle of beer to your lips, do you know this is going to happen? First time you ever stuck a needle in your veins, did you know this was going to happen?" And he'd say, "You're nuts. You're crazy. I would have never done it had I known the consequences for my action." Hey, but listen, friend, there are no reset buttons in life. You can't just hit Control-Alt-Delete and erase your past. It doesn't work that way. We live and we die by the choices and the decisions that we make. Boy, you meet people all the time and they say things like, "Boy, I wish I would have never applied for that credit card." Huh? You hear people all the time and they'll say, "Boy, I wish I'd have been just a little bit closer to mom and dad before they died. Wish I would have." People tell me this all the time. I'm a young man. I'm just a kid preacher. Amen. But I have people come up to me all the time and say, "Boy, I wish I'd have started serving God when I was your age. Man, I didn't start till I was 50, or I didn't start till I was 30. Man, I've already messed up, wasted so much of my life." Hey, listen, friend, it's not important what's happened in the past. It's not what I'm here to talk to you tonight about. I'm here to ask you, what are you going to do from now on? Listen, friend, it doesn't matter what's happened in the past. God can forgive all of that. Amen. God can erase that past of yours and give you a brand new hope and give you a brand new life. It doesn't matter what you've done. It only matters what He did on Calvary. Amen. It doesn't matter where you've been. It only matters where He went. It doesn't matter who you are. It only matters who He is. Amen. And I tell you what, we make our choices and we live by the consequences of those choices. It always amazes me, and you young people, you listen to me. There's going to come a day when you're going to wish you'd have been closer to your parents. There's going to come a day when you wish you was closer to some of your brothers and sisters. Amen. I'm not trying to be morbid about this thing tonight. But there's one thing about funerals that has always kind of intrigued me. And that is, you see a casket laying there and you see flowers and all these kind of things, and people come up to that casket and they'll see their mother or their brother or sister for the last time. And you'll hear them say things like, I'm sorry, we weren't closer." How many times, preacher, have you had a funeral and watched somebody come by and say, "Boy, I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad." But you know the thing that's always interested me about that? When they're there in that casket, they can't see the flowers. They can't hear the "I'm sorry's." They can't hear the "I love you's." What I'm trying to say tonight, friend, is these people in your life that you love, why don't you give them the flowers now? Huh? Why don't you tell Mom and Dad you love them now while you have them? Why don't you go and make things right with that brother or that sister now? I mean, listen, friend, there is nothing in this world that can be more important than making sure that your family knows that you love them. I'm sorry tonight if this offends you or if this offends people, but there is no reason in the world why any brother should have a sister that they're mad at, that they haven't talked to for 10 or 15 years. Brother, don't let that thing go so long. Don't let that thing reach a point to where you regret the rest of your life that you didn't show that person that you loved them. And how many times have I met people say, "Yeah, I haven't talked to my brother in 30 years. Shame on you. And those decisions you'll regret. Let me say tonight, dear friend, you cannot choose what you reap. You can only choose what you sow. You can only choose what you sow. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter number 11 tonight. Deuteronomy 11. Look with me at this verse. Deuteronomy 11, verse number 26. If you're still with me tonight, say amen. Amen. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26. This is what the Bible says. God said, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." In other words, God's saying, "I've got some good news and some bad news." Don't you love it when people say that? Amen. It's like one woman, she came in her house. She said, "Honey, I got some good news." I said, "What's that?" She said, "The airbags work." I don't think that's what he was hoping to hear. Amen. But he said, God says, I've got before you this day a blessing and a curse. He said in verse number 27, here's the good news. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. That's the blessing. God said if we obey, he'll bless us. Here's the bad news. Bad news is, he said, I've got a curse. If you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Hey, listen, friend, there is a path that leads to happiness. There is a path that leads to no regrets, a path of joy that any person can walk in their life. But hey, listen, God said, that is my path. That is my way. You do things my way and I'll bless you. God says, you do things your way and you'll be cursed. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Amen. So, Brother Randy, it's hard to be a Christian. May I say it's even harder to be a backslider? All these people that you see at the bars, everybody thinks, and teenagers sometimes get this idea that everybody's at the bar because they're there just to have a good time. May I tell you that probably most of those people that you meet at the bar are not there having a good time. Most of those people that are at the bar are there because they've lost everything and they're trying to drink their sorrows away and they're trying to forget about their problems and they're trying to get it out of their mind and they got so many regrets and they wish things were a little bit differently and all they can do is drink and drink and drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. Why? Because there is a path that leads to happiness, but it's God's way. There is a path that leads to destruction and it's our way, and the way of the transgressor is hard. I'll never forget when we were about to invade Iraq. All of our soldiers, they were moving over there. Right before they started their convoys into the city of Baghdad, I'll never forget, President Bush got on national television. I mean, it was on every channel. Everywhere you flipped, you saw the president talking. He got on television, and for all the world to watch, he looked in that camera lens and he told Saddam Hussein, he said, Saddam Hussein, you got 48 hours. You remember? You got 48 hours to get out of Dodge or we're coming in after you. And people can say what they want to about the war. People can say what they want to about not liking the war. But had Saddam Hussein made the right choice, we would not be at war right now. What happened though? 48 hours later, and we saw the shock and awe. I'll never forget watching that. Man, we were at a conference, preacher. And man, I didn't go to a lot of them services. I was so glued to my TV, man, watching them bombs fall. Man, I didn't want to miss it. I mean, anytime our boys are over there fighting, man, I don't care what they're fighting for, brother. I'm going to stand behind them, amen. There's American men and women dying over there, brother. I'm going to stand with them. I never forget, man, watching them bombs fall. And it wasn't too long after that, man, we killed Uday and Kusay. And, man, not that long ago, I remember watching the news whenever they have found old Saddam Hussein hiding like a rat down in a hole. And all that happened because he chose the wrong path. Hey, listen, what I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, is God has the right path for us to choose. We've got to walk it. The Bible says we spend our years as a tale that is told. Our life is like a story. And every important decision that we make, every defining moment that we experience only adds another chapter to our life's history. And whether or not our life's story will have a happy ending or not, we'll be based upon the decisions and the choices that we make for God. For just a few minutes this evening, I want to share with you four quick things that I believe can cause alternate endings in a person's life. Four things that can give people an alternate ending. Let me say, first of all, tonight, one of the things that I believe can cause alternate endings in people's life is intercessory prayer. Amen. Thank God for prayer. Brother, I believe prayer changes things. Hey, listen, I've seen storms roll back. I've seen miracles happen. I've seen God intervene time and time and time again. Why? Because God hears the prayers of His children. I still believe that it works. I still believe that God listens when we pray. Let me tell you something tonight, dear Christian. You got somebody you're praying for. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Amen. You say, Brother Randy, I got a wayward son or daughter. Hey, listen, let me tell you something tonight. There's not a son or daughter in this world that could ever escape the long reach and the prayer of a concerned and praying mother. There is no one that can escape that. You keep praying. You say, Brother Randy, I got somebody in my life. They're not saved. And I don't know that they ever will get saved. Hey, listen, friend, you just keep praying. You just keep praying. You just keep praying. God will begin to work on their heart. God will open up their eyes whenever the time comes. But don't forget about them. Don't stop praying for them. Listen, I tell you what. While you're at the altar, at the invitation, praying for them and concerned about their soul, while the service is still going on, they could walk through those back doors and come down this and say, hey, listen, I need to get saved. God's been working on my heart. I believe while you're praying for that grandfather or grandmother or son or daughter or best friend to get saved, I believe in the middle of the night while you're praying for them in concern, I believe that that phone could ring and their voice could be on the other end of the line and say, hey, I can't sleep. I can't get the thought off my mind. Will you please tell me about Jesus? I've seen it happen, friend. I believe in the power of intercessory prayer. Turn over to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. And look in verse number 26. This is just one of those kind of verses that you really just have to see and read to fully understand. Romans 8 and verse number 26. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You realize, friend, there are some times that we really don't know what to pray. Ever been there before? Ever have a situation in your life and you really don't know how to even pray about it? You really don't even know what to do? Man, I've had times where I've known of people where they're sick and they're in the hospital and they've been sick for so long and they've been hurting for so long, and you just don't know if you should pray for God to heal them, or you don't know if God, you should pray for God just to take them home. You just don't know what to do. Sometimes we get decisions in our life and we just don't really understand which direction we should take. We don't even know how to pray like we ought. Then the Bible says the Spirit maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There's been times before, Brother Van Horn, where I've come down to the altar and I kneel there, and tell you the truth, once I get up there, I don't even know why I came. I don't even know what I'm supposed to pray about. And man, I get up there and I just start saying the same thing over and over and over again. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to speak to my heart and begins to show me exactly what I need to say. Hey, listen, that's Him making intercession. Showing me what to speak. Showing me what to pray for. One preacher put it this way. He said, there is no reason why we should faint under the burden of afflictions. Seeing that our prayers minister us a most sure help which cannot be frustrated. Seeing that they proceed from the Spirit of God who dwells in us. Bears our burdens, as it were, so that we do not faint under it. Incites us to pray. And tells us, as it were within. Listen to this. What we will say in how we will speak. Brother, I tell you what, only the Spirit of God can do that. I remember a time whenever I was a little boy. We used to travel, do all of our traveling in a fifth-wheel trailer, and had an old Chevy dually truck that we had traveled all over the country with. We were down at home down there in Sigerville, Texas, is where we lived. And while we were home, Dad was away, and he was out traveling. And boy, it was just one of those times. You know, it seemed like whenever it rains, it pours. And it seemed like trials just don't come, you know, one at a time. Seems like they all come at once. You know, you ever notice that? And I always say trials come in seasons and trials come for reasons. Amen. Hey, but listen, he was there and he was by himself and everything was going wrong. The truck and trailer had broke down. The frame of the trailer had literally broken. And that whole front of that trailer had just collapsed in the back of the pickup truck. Not only that, but he was fighting a real bad illness that week with tonsillitis and fever and all that kind of stuff. And, of course, we were away from him, and so that probably made things even worse. But he was there, and he said, this particular night, he said, I don't know what it was about that night. He said, but I had a fever so bad, and I just couldn't sleep. He said, I could never get comfortable. And he said, so that night, I just got my Bible out, and I began to write a message. And that night, he wrote probably one of the most powerful messages I've ever heard him preach in my life, a sermon titled, The Presence of the Holy Spirit. Put that same sermon in one of his books. He said, that night, I don't know what it was, he said, but I just felt like something was wrong and I couldn't explain it. He said, it was almost like a dark cloud was hovering over me that night and I just couldn't figure out what was going on. He said, for some reason, I became a little bit concerned about my mom and dad, and he said, I just couldn't help but wonder if maybe the reason I couldn't sleep was maybe something was wrong at home or maybe something was wrong with mom and dad. And he said, and so I went to a payphone, and he said, across the street, I wrapped a towel around my neck, and he said, for some reason, I don't know why I did it. He said, still to this day, I don't know why I did it. He said, but I called my mother's house just to check on him. And he said, whenever she picked up the phone, he said, immediately I knew something was wrong. He said, my mom on the other end of the line was crying. And he said, Mother, what's wrong? And she said, Randy, tonight or today, this afternoon, your dad was out working. And while he was at work, he had a heart attack. They're taking him into the hospital. They're trying to perform open heart surgery at quadruple bypass. Dad said, I'll never forget it. And my dad's not spooky. You have to know him. You hear some people talk about the Holy Spirit and talk about all these things, and man, it just sounds so weird and far-fetched. My dad, he's not spooky about this kind of thing. He said, but I believe with all my heart the reason I couldn't sleep. I believe with all my heart the reason God was keeping me awake. I just knew that God was putting it on my heart to call home because something was wrong. And let me tell you something tonight, Christian. Some of those times when you're laying in bed at night, you wake up 1-2 in the morning, and you can't go back to sleep, and you don't know why. You're just wide awake, and you're laying there, and you're staring up at the ceiling, and there's nothing else to do. Sometimes during those wee hours of the morning, whenever you're awake, sometimes you just need to start praying. Maybe the Lord trying to get a hold of you. Maybe God trying to speak to your heart. Sometimes when you're just laying there, you just need to say, Lord, are you trying to get through to me? God, are you trying to talk? Hey, listen, friend, we're so busy during the day. And whenever we're alone, it seems like we always got a radio on or the television on. And we're either at work or we're at home. And sometimes God waits for the kids to go to sleep, for the wife to go to sleep, for everybody else to go to bed. And finally, when it's quiet, the first time we can start to hear that still small voice. I believe in the power of intercessory prayer. Second thing that I think causes alternate endings in people's life is God's providence. God's providence. Amen. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 2. He says, Thou knowest my downsettings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. What a thought, man. Matthew 6 and verse 8 says, Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask of him. Hey, listen, friend, before you even get on your knees and begin to pray, God already knows what you're going to say because he's already thinking about your problems. Sometimes we think, man, God don't know what's going on in our life. God don't understand the problems that I'm having. Yes, he does, friend. Yes, he does. He understands your thoughts. He understands your needs before you even ask of him, the Bible says. The Bible says that God knows everything about us, knows how many hairs are on our head. Amen. Hey, listen, friend. The Bible says that God thinketh on me. I mean, what a thought. The thought that the Almighty God of heaven thinks about me. Every once in a while, man, he just stops from controlling the universe, stops from keeping everything from running into each other and exploding, keeping this world intact, stops all of his busy schedule just to think about me. Man, what a thought that God thinketh on me. Hey, listen, I believe in God's providence. My wife was a teenager. She had for several years in a row been a part of her high school and her all the time she was growing up there in her public school, she was always a cheerleader. And this one particular year, she tried out for the cheerleading squad. And at that point in her life, that was the biggest thing that she thought she could be a part of. I mean, that was the most exciting thing, was being a part of that cheerleading team. This one particular year, though, she tried out. for the cheerleading squad, and she just didn't make the cut. And she said, man, I was devastated. She said, I mean, that was the only thing I was thinking about at that stage of my life. She said, I just didn't understand why I didn't make it. Later on that summer, she went to summer camp in Louisiana. And while she was there at summer camp, she got saved. And you talk to her about this, she'll tell you. She says, I believe with all my heart the reason why God didn't allow me to make the cheerleading squad was because if I did, I probably would have never gotten saved and never gotten my life in church. Hey, listen, friend, God has a way of taking care of things in our life. And the longer I preach and the longer I live, the more I realize how God's mighty hand is in every situation that we face. I believe God controls everything. I like what A.W. Tozer said. He said that we travel an appointed way. Amen. Thank God. He already knows what's going to happen. Thank God he's got a design for our lives. Hear me tonight, dear Christian. It was God's providence that you married the right one. It was God's providence that brought you to this church. It was God's providence that brought you into his perfect will. I believe God's got a plan for every life, and I believe it's God's grace that gently leads a person to the moment of salvation. Thank God for his providence. When my dad was 17, he had just gotten his life right with God. And man, he was just coming from several years of being a rebellious teenager and getting in all kind of trouble, and finally went to a little revival meeting and got his life right with God and was called to preach when he was 17. Later on that summer, an evangelist by the name of Dr. Joe Boyd came to his church. Dr. Joe Boyd now he's into his 60th year of full-time evangelism, well into his 80s, almost 90. Still preaching, man, still going after sinners, still the best soul winner I've ever met in my life. Dr. Joe Boyd is the founder of our campgrounds there at Mount Salem Revival Grounds. That summer, my dad met Dr. Joe Boyd for the first time. Dr. Boyd asked him to come travel with him as a preacher boy. And Dad said, man, I don't know why I did it. He said, there was just something about Brother Boyd that I admired and that I loved, and I was on fire for God for the first time in my life. I was called to be a preacher. And so he got on Joe Boyd's bus and began to travel with Dr. Boyd. And now Dad's the president of the camp Brother Boyd started. And, of course, God Save America was started because of those years when Dad was traveling with Brother Boyd. I just can't help but wonder sometimes when I think about that, what it would be like in my life had Dad never gotten on that bus, had Dad not made that decision to travel that summer. I wonder if there'd even be a Mount Salem Revival Grounds tonight. I wonder if there'd even be a God Save America conference tonight. I wonder if there'd even be a Randy Taylor Jr. that's in the will of God, preaching the gospel, following his dad's footsteps. I wonder if any of that would even be taking place tonight had he made the wrong decision. You see, the Bible says in Romans 14:7, none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. May I say tonight, dear friend, that your testimony and your life may have an effect on thousands of people. Just your life, just your one testimony. Hey, listen, friend, I'm here to tell you that if you get mad and you storm out of church, you walk out of the will of God, you say, I'm never coming back to this place, I'm never coming back to church, it's not just you that's going to suffer. But it's every Christian that's ever been a friend to you. It's every person that's ever prayed for you. Amen. I remember you've probably seen or read the story at least, or probably at least one time in your life seen the old black and white movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And that story to me just has so many truths in it. I'm not too big on promoting Hollywood, and brother, don't think I am tonight. Man, you think about old George Bailey for just a minute. Old George, he was passed down his father's business there at Bailey Building and Loan. And boy, his family had always tried to be honest. They had always tried to do the right thing and help people as much as they could. All of a sudden, George came upon some hard times and lost some money, couldn't figure out where he put it. The old potter man, he started coming after him, and he's out to get him, and everything was just going wrong. George's whole life was falling apart. George didn't see any other reason in living. And so he goes up to the bridge and decides that he's going to kill himself. And he says, "Lord, I wish I'd have never been born." And that's when old Clarence showed up. Didn't have his wings yet. But he granted him his wish, and all of a sudden, George had never been born. Old Clarence begins to walk him back through his town. The same town where once used to be Bailey Park was now Pottersville. And what once used to be Bailey Building and Loans is now a bunch of bars and all kind of vice. And he goes and he tries to find his wife. He bumps into her on the sidewalk, but because George had never lived, his wife had never gotten married. Now she was an old maid. And he tries to find his kids. He goes to his house to look for his family, but because George is never around, he never had any kids. And his brother, who won a Congressional Medal of Honor as a war hero, because George was never alive, George was never around as a kid to save him from the ice when he fell in, and his brother died. And all of a sudden, George started to realize, hey, my life did mean something. My life was important. And he did truly realize that, hey, I do have a wonderful life. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea the people that you're a blessing to. You have no idea how many of these kids look up to you. You have no idea how you encourage so many people's heart by being faithful, by just being a friend to them. Hey, listen, I think about my preacher, and I just wonder, had my preacher never moved to our church, had he never got up and preached on hell, thank God for preachers that still preach on hell, I wonder if he'd have never moved there to our place back there in the hills of West Virginia, if I'd ever gotten saved, had he not preached the one message that got a hold of my heart. Brother, I believe in the providence of God. Let me say number three tonight, things that cause alternate endings, not only intercessory prayer and God's providence, but another thing that'll change your life's ending is God's plan of salvation. Amen. Hey, listen, that gives you the best alternate ending imaginable. When we're on our way to hell, when we definitely deserve to go to hell, God gives us heaven instead. Amen. Brother, I hope everybody's got that kind of an ending waiting for them. I hope there's not one in here tonight that's in danger of having to die and go to hell when God has given us a free gift of salvation. Oh, listen, I tell you what, the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life is the decision to get saved. The decision to get saved. I'll never forget the service that I was sitting in whenever I trusted Christ. Man, I sat there and I was under such conviction, I knew I was going to, if I died, I would have died and went to hell. Brother, I just couldn't stand it any longer. The preacher, he kept preaching about hell, and brother, that's all I could think about. I can remember sitting in church, Brother Lance, thinking that was the longest service I ever sat through. I just kept thinking to myself, if that preacher would just sit down and shut up, I'll go get saved. I mean, I couldn't stand it any longer. Man, I was a preacher's kid. And I just thought, Brother Van Horn, what's everybody going to think about me if I go get saved? What is everybody going to say if I go forward and trust Christ? Man, I'm a preacher's son. The reason I never got saved up until that point is because I was too proud, too worried about what everybody's going to think. Man, that service, man, I couldn't stand it any longer. I came forward, and man, God got a hold of my heart. Brother, I was weeping and bawling and slinging snot. And brother, you don't have to cry to get saved, but I definitely was. And I came and I knelt down. I could take you to the very spot, the third row of our little Baptist church, and show you the very place I knelt and got saved. I ask you tonight, friend, has there ever been a time and a place in your life where you trusted Christ? Oh, Brother Randy, I can't get saved. What's everybody going to think? It's not going to matter when you wake up in hell what everybody thought. He said, Brother Randy, I just can't do it tonight. Brother Randy, I just got too many things going on in my life. Brother Randy, I'll just do it another time. Friend, I think probably the most terrible and awful torment in hell is the fact that those who die and go there have a memory and have remembrance all through eternity. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you leave here without trust in Christ, this very message, this very sermon may haunt you in hell forever and forever and forever. You'll play this back in your mind over and over and over. You'll remember the invitation over and over and over again. And you'll think to yourself, why didn't I go? Why didn't I pray? Why didn't I ask God to come in my heart? God's plan of salvation. You're here tonight and you want to be saved. The Bible said Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sin debt. You know what that means? That means I don't have to work for it. I don't have to pay for it. Ephesians says, for by grace, I love that word grace. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works. That's what the Bible says, not what I said. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus died on the cross. Brother, for me to say that I have to work for my salvation is telling God, God, what you did on the cross wasn't enough. For me to say I can be good enough, for me to say that I can merit my salvation, is a slap in the face to God. I can't think of anything that is more blasphemous to God than to say, God, everything you did is in vain because it wasn't good enough. I've got to help you. That's right. God says, not by works, by grace. Amen. So, Brother Randy, I'm a good man. There's a lot of good men in hell. God says, by grace are you saved through faith. And God said, if we will call upon the name of the Lord. I have said, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. I thank God that I don't have to keep doing it over and over and over again. Amen. I thank God once he saved me, he saved me forever. Hey, listen, the day I got saved, brother, I got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says I am sealed in the palm of his hand. No man will be able to pluck me out of thy hand, brother. I've got all three seals on there, brother. That's better than Campbell's soup can seal. Amen. Thank God I'm saved forever. Because what God did on Calvary was enough. God didn't have to die five times, wasn't buried five times, didn't raise from the dead five times. He did it once, once and for all. And brother, I'm saved once and for all. Thank God. Amen. Let me say number four, and we're done tonight. Things that cause alternate endings, not only is intercessory prayer God's providence, God's plan of salvation. Number four, by the decisions that we purpose in our heart. Decisions that we purpose in our heart. Look at one more passage of Scripture with me in the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. Matthew, chapter number 7. And look in verse number 13. Matthew 7, verse 13, the Bible says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Bible said that broad is the way to destruction. You say, oh, Brother Randy, I just don't understand, man. Everybody else in the world, they're doing these things. Everybody else in the world, they're going this direction. Hey, listen, the Bible says that it's supposed to be that way, that the way is broad. Of course, that's the path that most people are going to follow. The path God wants us to follow is that narrow path. Sometimes it's not popular. Sometimes it's hard to walk down. But it's that narrow path that leads to true happiness in a person's life. Had a mother contacted me. And she had told me about her son. She sent me an email and she sent me some pictures. This is what she said. She said, Brother Randy, I have two boys. The boy I want to talk to you tonight is about a boy named, one of her sons named Jake. She said, Brother Randy, said a few years ago my husband passed away. And when he did, both of my boys got extremely bitter about it. They took it all out on God. They blamed God for all of it. She said the oldest boy really took it the hardest because he was the closest to his father. And man, he just went haywire, began drinking and partying and got into drugs and all kind of stuff. And because he was the oldest, he had a big influence on his younger brother. And he began to influence Jake to start getting into the same kind of lifestyle. She said, I was really worried about both of them. I was worried their life was going to end up in a mess. And I brought one of my boys to church. I brought Jake with me one Sunday. And we were sitting in church and the preacher was reading from this passage of Scripture. And he read the passage where it said, narrow is the way that leads to life. And she said, I don't know what it was about that sermon or about that phrase that interested Jake so much. She said, but he just kept asking me about it after church. Mom, what does that mean? What does that mean? Narrow is the path to life. What was that preacher trying to say? I don't quite understand. And she said it just really ate on him. He really couldn't get it off of his mind. He went to his bedroom, and that afternoon he was thinking about it so much that he drew a portrait of himself. I have a copy of it in my office. And this portrait was a picture of this young man, and he had painted himself with a sad look on his face. It was long, dark, black hair, and the background was gray and drabby. And boy, it looked so sad and depressing. And over top of his head, he had the phrase, narrow is the path to life. And the thing about Jake never found out what it meant to walk down that narrow path, that path which leads to happiness. Later on that week, him and his brother were in a car with several other boys. His oldest brother was driving, and he was very, very drunk. They're driving down one of the back roads there in Mesquite, hit a telephone pole. My uncle, Greg, is a police officer down there in Mesquite, Texas, and he was the first officer to arrive on the scene. He said, when I got there, we literally had to peel Jake's face off of that telephone pole. Every one of them boys were killed. I got a picture of the wreckage in my office as well. God said there's a way that leads to happiness, a way that leads to joy, a way that leads to a blessing. God says the way of the transgressor is hard. It's that narrow path we need to walk down, friend. And sometimes it's not popular, sometimes it's not easy. Often it leads through some difficult places. But we do things God's way and He'll work things out. Brother, the more I think about it, the more I look back upon my life, the more I can see God's hand on every page of my life. And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, the fate of your future is worth fighting for. God said we spend our years as a tale that is told. In just a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation. Invitations always have alternate endings. It's, oh, Brother Randy, I don't plan on making any decisions tonight. Oh, everybody that comes to church makes decisions. Right. You either make a decision at the altar or you make a decision not to serve God or not to go forward. We all make decisions. Each and every one of us tonight will make a decision. We just hope it's the right one. I hope this revival preacher has the right kind of ending. I hope one of these days we get up to heaven and we find out that, man, the right decisions were made tonight. And we find out that 5-10 years down the road that somebody's life was changed this week. Maybe somebody's marriage ended up getting put back together. Maybe somebody's family began to get closer. Maybe somebody was called to preach. Maybe somebody got saved. But we get down the road and we look and we see the results of the decisions tonight. I don't know, but I think perhaps when we get in heaven one of these days, maybe God will just show us the alternate endings of our life. Maybe God will just show us. I don't know that He will. I'm not saying that He will, but I'd be awful curious to ask God, God, could you show me what life would have been like had I not gotten saved? Had I not surrendered to preach? I don't know, maybe God will show me. Maybe God will show us, some of us, in someday when we get up to heaven, what our life could have been like had just surrendered to His will. Maybe God will show us, man, as the missionary is sitting out there in the pew and yet they don't want to surrender. Maybe you'll get up to heaven someday and God will just start showing you thousands of faces of people that are in hell because you never went and told them about Jesus. Perhaps he'll show you some children that never got saved because you never took that Sunday school class. I don't know, Brother Lance, but maybe one of these days God will show me all the people that I passed by that I knew I should have witnessed to. Maybe he'll show them to me at the great white throne and he'll say, "You see that one? You see that one? You see that one? They're on their way to hell because you never told them about Jesus." I don't know. I hope to see my reward someday in heaven. I hope to see all the good things. But I just wonder tonight if some of these alternate endings aren't for you. I want us to all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around tonight. Give your life story an alternate ending. As heartaches, regret, and tears await the stubborn and the rebellious. But Jesus is the alternative.